Bill Owens, talk to me about, you've just been selected to probably the most powerful committee in the United States House of Representatives, and that's the Appropriations Committee. And the people who are on it are known as, quote, appropriators, and they are in a position to bring home a little bit more bacon to their districts than people who aren't on the Appropriations Committee, because when things are being divvied up, one for me and one for you. So how do you take that? It's a great honor, but it's also a lot of responsibility.
Well, first, it is a great honor, and certainly I think it reflects my caucus's belief that I have the right temperament to do this, that I'm someone who will look at the facts and be fair in my analysis as we go through this appropriations process. It is a committee that has a tremendous influence on the process. It also required me to give up two other committees that I enjoyed very much, Armed Services and Agriculture. But I'm hopeful that I will be able to continue to have impacts in those areas through my role on the Appropriations Committee. It is a big responsibility. It means one has to be paying attention. One has to be doing a lot of reading and a lot of listening.
So what do you do? I mean, you're going to be besieged by people who want things for their districts who are going to come and see you and say, hey, Bill, can you help me out? How do you handle that?
Well, what you really do is you make a list, if you will. You make sure that you've gotten all the information. You probe the whys, obviously. You look at what impact it will have on an individual district. You look at the impact it will have on the country. You weigh it against the need to have some level of restraint spending. And you put it all in a bucket, and you do analysis, and you come to a conclusion, much like the process I try and do with everything that I have to make a decision on.
Well, how political is this stuff? I mean, somebody comes to you and they say, okay, I'm in a tough district. I risk not being elected. Hey, Bill, you got to help me out. We got down to the gym together and all the rest of it. You got to help me out. As opposed to, here are the facts. It's good policy as opposed to it's good for me politically.
Well, again, the reality of it is, Alan, this is going to be a learning experience for me for the next couple of months. I'm going to have to sit and listen to those presentations, listen to the analysis. One of the things the committee does, obviously, is has in-depth hearings on the subcommittee level where people do come in and make presentations for particular projects for their districts, et cetera. And this is going to be a huge learning experience. And I, again, believe that because of the way I approach things generally, I'm going to be able to listen and make some objective decisions about where we should be going and what we should be doing in districts. Now, that's not to say I don't anticipate some significant pressure in that role, but I think I can handle it.
Are you looking for one of or another of the subcommittees, the very powerful subcommittees?
Well, clearly, we think it would be most advantageous if we could get on defense. And the next one I would be very interested in is agriculture.
Why is defense so much more preferable than the others?
Well, I think it's really a function of the size of the budget. You know, you're involved in a huge budget that has broad impact. If you look at what's happening in our district, you know, you've got Fort Drum. You have a little further down the Waterville Arsenal. You have many reserve units and National Guard units that are impacted by that budget. So it's a broad, has a broad sweep on the district and obviously on the country.
You're sort of expected to step up for, you know, for the things in your district, even though, you know, there are those people who feel too much defense stuff in our budget.
Clearly, but as you know, as I said to you before, one of the things I am going to be pushing is I will be frequently bringing up Secretary Gates's commentary on the idea that there's $75 to $150 billion in management money that can be saved by better managing DOD. That's going to be a theme that they're going to hear from me quite a bit.
How about the nomination? Of course, you're in the House, not the Senate, which has to vote on this, but the nomination of presumed Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel.
Well, clearly, you know, I think the fact that you have somebody who went to war, was wounded a couple of times, gives him great credibility in my mind. Great credibility in my mind. I also believe he's the kind of person who will do the proper analysis. And when you're in different roles, you have to act differently. And clearly, as a senator, he was in a different role than he'll be in as Secretary of Defense. And I'm hopeful that they will take a serious look at him and will listen to what the hearings have to say. I'm leaning towards him.
You were in Vietnam, right?
I was a Vietnam-era member of the military. I never served in Vietnam.
I see. But you seem to have a very special respect for anybody who actually put themselves forward, like the senator.
Absolutely. My dad, who died in December, did 24 missions over Germany as a waist gunner in a B-24.
Whoa.
You know, you listen to those stories and you say, wow.
I think we should explain to people that you're doing us a real favor here and are talking to us from an airport, and those are the sounds you hear in the background, and we really appreciate that. What do you do every week? You fly down every single week, or how does that work?
Basically, we're in session 3 weeks a month, so I fly down either Monday or Tuesday morning and come back either Thursday or Friday.
Have you made friends at the airport? I mean, are there special people who you see every single time you go? I know when Maurice Hinchy would go down, there were always a couple of people on the plane who were in a similar situation. Has any of that happened to you?
Oh, yes, all the time. There's a couple of folks who I know quite well who I see on the plane with regularity.
Now, if I was a lobbyist, I'd try to get the seat next to you.
That hasn't happened so far.
Uh-huh. And how recognizable do you think you are?
Yeah, clearly, after the last election, very, I would say. I have people come up to me all the time. You know, most of it is casual, friendly chatter. Some people have a particular issue they want to talk to you about.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
By and large, people are just chatting.
Well, when somebody really hard presses you, I mean, I can only tell you what happens with me. Sometimes I get my dander up. Does that ever happen with you?
Very rarely. Mm. Very rarely. Occasionally it does. Mm. I try and listen to people when they, you know, have an issue. I talk to them. I would say the vast majority of people are very respectful of the environment that they're in. They know they're in a public place. And they will allow you to provide an answer. They may say, I don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. But very rarely do people step across that line. But that's been my experience generally since I've been in office.
Hmm.
As a general rule, people, I think, want to conduct a respectful discussion.
But, of course, there are some people who are just really, you know, crazy, and they push hard. And you say, well, oh, boy, how do I handle this?
Well, and that has happened a few times. And, you know, usually what I'll say to people is, you know, it's unfortunate that we can't agree on this subject, or what the answers I'm providing you don't seem to be satisfying you, but I don't think that we can continue this discussion any longer.
Did you ever feel in danger?
No, never.
Interesting. Well, Bill Owens, we love talking to you, and we thank you for taking all this time, especially in the airport. We'll be talking to you again in the future, but again, thank you so much for all of your answers and for being so present with us. We appreciate it.
No problem, Alex. Thanks very much. Take care.